So we missed last week. What happened? What's been going on?
Can I just blame it on you?
No, I'm not going to allow that this time. This actually has to do with you.
Well, that's true. Actually, I'm impressed that we went on a run and were consistent because, as you know, but no one else seems to know, since early February, I've been sick with this weird, like not normal sick. I've been every form of normal sick with one unifying, really crazy, weird sickness that has been kind of a really trying experience. But yeah, basically, I was in Austin doing a live training event. I basically got the flu. So I did 10 hours on stage in 2 days, suffering from the flu, but I made it through it and it was all cool and I was all proud of myself. And I never really got better from that because then I went to Las Vegas to speak at Email Summit. And that's when things got really weird and I got hit with vertigo.
And vertigo.
Yeah. So it's not just an Alfred Hitchcock movie. It's basically, you know, everything spins around and can't walk straight, can't think straight, can't do anything, basically get very nauseous, whatever. So the first few days of that were like I was bedridden. And then finally went to the doctor and they were like, well, it's either a virus and it'll clear up or it's this other thing. And if I make this adjustment on you, it'll go away in a couple days. Well, it turns out it was probably the virus thing. And in hindsight, if I would have got really strong antivirals at that point, I would have been laid up a couple days, but I probably would have been better. Instead, it's been weeks. And then, to top it all off, because it attacks your immune system, in addition to your vestibular system, I've gotten every possible sickness that two little kids, little germ factories, biological warriors, if you will.
Dragging that into the house.
That drag right into the house. So, yeah, it's been 5 weeks of suck.
I'm thinking maybe that's a good enough reason to...
I was trying to make it. You know, that was the badge of honor. But, you know, doing a half days of work would basically exhaust me. So basically last week had a really rough week. And we moved into our new house at the same time. Mm. So come on, people, please give me a break. That's a good excuse. I mean, in the realm of excuses.
Maybe we'll do a poll or something at the end of this post.
Brian,
I don't know. Brian,
we don't care. Suck it up next time.
Yeah, moving on top of it. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was fun. That's always fun. Yeah. I'd like to use that as an excuse alone.
Okay, so we're back. This is episode 8 of the New Rainmaker podcast. We're doing another behind-the-scenes episode here. We're going to talk about some specifics of what's been going on since we last did one of these. And, yeah, we're 8 episodes into this thing now. And I just want to ask you what we've learned in those 8 episodes.
Well, you know, starting off with an audio focus, I think we talked about in the last behind the scenes that audio is really just the beginning point as opposed to the goal. A lot of people doing podcasts right now, I think that is what they are thinking. You know, we're going to do, let's put on a podcast, which is important. And we've learned some interesting things about that. But you also have to keep in mind, and I think this behind the scenes episode will make it a little bit clearer in anticipation of the webinar that we do, where we lay out our entire content and traffic strategy in detail. So this is going to just be a warm up for that as we're in the midst of doing it. The thing I've learned with audio and specifically iTunes as an audience building / discovery platform, right? So you create content, you are distributed by iTunes. iTunes, depending on how popular you are, will rank you and expose you to people that have never heard of you before, which is amazing. I mean, that's of course how all the social networks work too. But what I've found, and here's the tip I would give people about iTunes, if you have any existing audience or customer base or people that will, you know, that you have an existing reach with, if you want to do well on iTunes, make iTunes the only audio channel you offer. So we're offering MP3 downloads. We're offering transcripts, you know, as of the first day. We're offering Stitcher. We're offering SoundCloud and iTunes, right? I've seen some other people, and we're doing great in iTunes, by the way. But if we really wanted to own iTunes, we would only own iTunes. And I've seen some people, Robert, you know our friend Ben Settle. He's always focused on email. So he's got a fairly significant email list, and he drives them all directly towards iTunes. And he's kicking ass in iTunes because it's very focused, right? So iTunes basically operates on usage, listening data, ratings, reviews, all that kind of stuff. And if you're concentrating all on iTunes, you're going to get the most performance gains from iTunes. So that's just a hint or a tip. If when you're starting with audio, make iTunes, or it could be SoundCloud or Stitcher, I suppose, but iTunes is the big daddy.
Choose one.
Robert, yeah, you've got the inside on the numbers. iTunes is still the big platform.
Yeah, they came out, they made a big deal. Apple did last year, promoting the fact that there were over 1 billion subscribers to podcasts on iTunes alone. And that's, you know, staggering number. So if you were smart about it and you wanted to do this hyper focus, driving everything and everyone to iTunes, which then, you know, you turned into something else, it's obvious that the audience is there. And in almost just about any category you want to talk about. But, you know, we're talking 1 billion total subscribers to podcasts alone. I like to bring up again, you know, this idea that that number is actually, I'm guessing, going to be just the start. Because, again, it's still hard to get through the process of subscribing to a podcast in iTunes for the average person. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this hyper-focus. And just a note, too, because, Brian, our focus here, like you say, we've got all these options. If you want to really, really make something happen there, even if you've got a smaller audience, you can make something happen on iTunes by driving everyone there. But our focus has been on the email list first and foremost, and then giving these options elsewhere as well.
Yeah, and that's important. Email is higher value than any social network, iTunes, RSS, anything else. And even that's not really what we're trying to accomplish now, is it? No,
correct.
We're trying to gain customers and maybe different levels of customers, which we'll talk about here. But as a discovery channel, iTunes could put you in touch with people who've never heard of you before. And then, of course, you can use the recordings like we have to say, hey, you get more stuff at newrainmaker.com. if you subscribe by email, stuff that won't be delivered by iTunes. So it's a really nice congruent strategy between the two.
So you're talking about focusing, driving your audience to, in this case, iTunes. You know, the argument could be made, it's easy for us to say. You know, we've got a fairly significant audience that we can drive traffic to those places. What if you don't have an audience or a customer list? What do you do then?
Yeah. So if you're a startup or a completely new endeavor, I mean, I would want to one more time say, even if you haven't been doing any sort of, you know, audience building or content marketing, if you have existing customers and you're creating high value content, you do want to let them know about it. They become your advocates because not only do you have the ability to talk to them, but they have done business with you and hopefully are very happy with you. So don't forget about that if you have an existing business. That said, even if you did 8 episodes of content that's focused on your prospective customer or client like we've just done, it wouldn't matter if anyone heard any of them necessarily, because it's really, like I said when we started off, it's really just step one. It's content creation. And that's often the hardest thing. Once you have something to work with, you can do a whole lot more with it. So again, at some point, we're going to teach all of this step by step. But we're also demonstrating what we're teaching by doing it at New Rainmaker. So what's next? This is our eighth episode. You're about to see the homepage of New Rainmaker shift from join our podcast, you know, get episodes by email, get some webinars by email. It's going to shift towards get the New Rainmaker report, and that will be housed in a content library, much like my copy blogger is. If you guys are familiar with what we do at Copy Blogger, we have a whole bunch of ebooks behind a free paywall, if you will. You have to register, but once you do, you don't pay money, but you do get access to the ebook. So we're going to shift to that focus. Now you're saying, oh, so now you've done eight episodes, and now you're going to have to write this report, and you've been sick, you poor thing, is what you're saying, I hope, right? No?
That's
probably
what we're
no, still
for.
No sympathy, right?
Okay. Crickets. I think it was crickets.
Yeah. No, I'm not writing anything because I already wrote it, or we already created it. It's episodes 1 through 4 of New Rainmaker.
All right. So let's be clear about this. And we talk about this a lot, repurposing. Is that what we're getting at? I mean, describe the process of turning these four, in this case, episodes into a report.
Well, you take the first four transcripts, which, by the way, we did it. We're fairly close to report quality. And I actually had Sonia edit it because I wanted an outside eye. You could do the same thing with a freelance copy editor or editor, actual more substantive editor, as if they're doing a book chapter or four book chapters, which is really the closest analogy to what each episode has been so far as a chapter of a book. And yeah, so we created that content once. I had someone edit it at a very low investment, and now it's a repurposed form of content. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Why? How does that make sense? The content's already out there. Right. Well, not everyone wants to pay attention to the hook of a podcast is not what gets some people's attention, right? A lot of people aren't paying attention and haven't read the transcripts. So now the existing audience that's listening to this may say, you know, I wouldn't mind having the first four episodes in a nice, readable, comprehensive format because there was some good stuff in there. And I want to make, you know, I want it all in one neat package. So it has value for you guys. But the other value, of course, is that that's a completely different enticement to opt in, to register at the repurposed. It goes from email opt-in to the registration concept, to the content library concept. And of course, the Rainmaker platform, that's what it does. That is how you do advanced lead generation. But that's, you wouldn't use that just for a podcast, right? So we didn't start out that way. Now that we have some content to repurpose into a report, we have our first piece of content, high-value content for the new Rainmaker content library. So that is the next step.
I feel like there might be a concern out there about this repurposing strategy because people think, I think we tend to think, as people that are creating content on a regular basis, creating media, that it's like, okay, I already did that. I don't want to, like, you know, redo it and kind of get it in front of what largely in the beginning anyway might be the same group of people. What do you say to that feeling of, is this really a good idea, this repurposing thing?
That's why people run out of things to say. And again, what is your goal here? Is your goal to create content? I mean, even a film producer, what is their goal? It's to make a film to make money, right? So here we are, new media producers. We create content in order to make money. We just have a different business model. So there's that aspect of it. But, and we will go through this and we will emphasize this, that these initial episodes that you create, you should put a lot of thought into what they are. If you do that well, you are creating material for yourself that can be used in all these various contexts. And let's not flatter ourselves. Even with our audience, only a small percentage is paying attention to what we're doing at New Rainmaker. I accept that. It's fine. It's great. It allows me to up the bar each time I repurpose and I don't know what the right word here is, though, but, you know, I even get to, when I repurpose content, I get to make it better than it was the first time because I've had time to think about it. I've gotten reaction from the people who did pay attention to it, and maybe they said, I'm not so sure what you mean here by media instead of marketing. This has all been invaluable to me, getting feedback for the last, what has it been, 8 weeks, right? So I don't know if a lot of people have that concern. I think the opposite concern is there, which is, how in the world do I keep coming up with new stuff all the time? And I think what we're trying to demonstrate here is that if you create really great content from the upfront by doing the necessary research and thought and all that, then you can then take that content and you don't have to create. You have to create new content, but it's based off of your kind of eternal themes, the themes that really matter to getting across to your audience. And again, you start a podcast, you take X amount of episodes from the transcripts, you turn that into, you can turn it into articles, you can turn it into guest posts, you can turn it into a report like I'm doing. But say, for example, you're a service business. This report used as enticement to register or opt in, containing a soft, how can I help you more service pitch at the end, is all the marketing some businesses have to do. I mean, this is effectively what I did with my real estate businesses before CopyBlogger, right? I created content, I repackaged it, putting it in different streams, got people to follow me over time until they were ready to do business, never had to do a hard sell. It's just like an automated machine. So as we go through this further, you'll see that everything we do is designed to create that process. Not that you ever just set it and forget it, because maybe next year your eternal themes are changing. It's evolving with your business. It's evolving with the industry you're in, all that good stuff. But this is designed to get maximum impact out of a certain amount of content as possible.
All right, let's move on to ways to drive traffic and lead gen. We're going to talk specifically about something, which is SlideShare. You got any initial thoughts on this?
Well, because basically, compared to Twitter, Facebook, whatever, there are two social networks that are highly business-oriented, and therefore you're not surprised that they're more welcoming to business content. And they do much better from a lead generation standpoint. Those two are LinkedIn and SlideShare, which is now owned by LinkedIn. Actually has been for a little while. The other thing that's interesting to me about SlideShare is it's a copywriter's dream or a writer's dream. And again, if you're a producer and you've gotten your ideas out there, but you're not a writer, that's okay, because you can work with someone to take those ideas and just repurpose it into various formats. But first, before we go off and start creating SlideShares to try to drive leads back to our site, we had to repurpose the site into a high converting mode. And that's why first we did the podcast. We're continuing with the podcast. That's ongoing. We did the initial episodes of the podcast in order to make that into a report, which becomes the enticement to get the report and then receive the podcast going forward. So the podcast become the audio content becomes your follow-up material, but you've already got that in process, you know? So instead of just doing a podcast, you're doing an entire system of things that at each level allows you to attract more traffic, build an audience faster, and keep them engaged as you continue into the future. So first thing, we've got to reconfigure the site, which is, again, that's what Rainmaker platform was designed to do. Then we take aspects of the content we've already created, the juicy, cool stuff, or the stuff that gets our point across on various topics the best, and we turn those into slide presentations.
Yeah, you pretty much covered everything I was about to cover there. So
I apologize. No, but you have been looking at SlideShare very. You got really excited because you just didn't really give a crap one way or another when I said, "Hey, we're going to start doing SlideShare," and you're like, "Okay, we've never done that. This is all whole new thing. Copyblogger has never done anything at SlideShare, so we're making it up as we go along with you guys."
Well, and it really got my attention because, you know, obviously social networks are very important as distribution. Right. But SlideShare, your interest in SlideShare was what interested me. And for all the reasons you just laid out, it really is, I think, end up being an important thing for us. But I want to reiterate what you said about how we're going to approach it. You'll see, we'll release probably the first one in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Should have been about a week and a half ago, but what you want to do,
we'll blame that on me too.
Well, yeah, I pretty much blame everything on you. But
okay, good.
When you look at SlideShare, just take a look over there at slideshare.net, and there's a little explore the drop down feature in the top menu bar, and you can go by featured SlideShares, popular, most likes. They've got it laid out pretty simply. I don't actually like the way they've got this laid out, but it works. And when you look at what's going on there, it's very simple to see almost just right off the bat what works and what doesn't. So we're thinking about things like image heavy, of course. Just like a really great slide presentation, you want to go image heavy. You want to go actually copy short for the most part. There's a lot of these up there that are, you know, somewhat successful with heavy copy, heavy.
Right. I remember when you sent me your first draft of the first one you wanted to do, and I'm like, no, you got to look at some of these. They only have a few words per slide, but it's copywriting 101. You know, copywriting, the purpose of the headline is to get the first sentence read. The purpose of the first sentence is to get the second sentence read. So when you apply that to SlideShare, it's like the purpose of each slide is to get the next slide advanced. And I saw demonstrations of people who would use very short burst of enticing copy to get you to hit the next thing. Next thing you know, your fingers just moving, advance, advance, advance. And it's very engaging because it's not a lean back experience. It's a lean forward. I want to see what the next slide says. And when it's really well done, it's fascinating. And next thing you know, you've gone through 70 slides and read this entire thing.
And that's when you said that, the action of clicking the next slide, that's when it clicked for me. But if you take a look, I really think it boils down to, and we'll find out, we'll come back with what we've learned on this too,
we're going to embark on this, and then we're going to tell you what we found out and if we failed or how we had to adapt to figure it out. But just by observing, I think we've learned some things that we're sharing with you right now that may help you if you want to get started.
Yeah. And how I'm going to approach this in the simplest possible terms is a combination of distilling the very, very best parts of these first 8 episodes that we've done and everything we've learned to tell very short stories, combining that as a copy approach with really great design. And we'll get back to you with the results. But I think it's going to be at the very least, it's going to be a cool test of these.
And of course, SlideShare is just one way that you drive traffic. And again, remember, we're going to optimize this site for registration, for opt-in, for audience building by email. So don't forget to do that.
Yeah, right. SlideShare does not become your primary platform, just like anything else.
Ever. No, SlideShare is just, you know, it's pointing back at something, and the thing you point back to should be as optimized as possible for your goals. But of course, that's how Twitter works. That's how Facebook works. That's how LinkedIn itself works. That's how good old fashioned outreach works. So instead of trying to build relate, you know, and again, so Copyblogger was built basically on create content and then hustle, get out there and get people to notice somehow. The better the content, the easier it is, but you still have to get people to notice somehow, right? Outside of creating content, you can either spend time or money or a combination of both to get awareness to that content, right? So we're using something like SlideShare, which is like Remember when I told the story of how we use Dig? You put the content on the social platform. You get the traffic back to your site. In those days, it was going directly to the article. So it was really hard to optimize that for opt-in or whatever, or the Dig crowd would turn on you and bury you, right? So you had to live with the fact that you weren't going to convert that directly to emails. But that strategy was to attract links, right? With SlideShare, you get to point people back to whatever you want, right? Mm. But it has that same viral vote you up to the front page aspect to it, just like current Reddit does, obviously, except SlideShare is business friendly. If you have great content, they're happy to let you develop leads out of it. Hooray for business, right? And this is interesting coming out of 8 years of dealing with social media as it emerges, because it's very anti-commercialism, anti-business at the beginning. Yeah. And even Facebook is still kind of like that to a certain degree. But here we have LinkedIn and SlideShare, and they're like, hey, all you got to do is do something fantastic, and we're happy to let you, you know, build your list or whatever.
You know, what about the next step too, a possibility, which is with advertising? We've talked a lot about dancing around it for many years, but what are you thinking these days?
Well, that's what I just said. It's either time or money or a combination of both. So I will say again, early days copy blogger, never paid for advertising, but I spent a lot of time, right? Now, when I build my Boulder site, I don't spend any time. I spend money, you know? I mean, and that's not to say because I'm the richest guy in the world. That's to say that if I have things structured any way that I know I will get a return on my money, then I don't care. And I think, you know, most business people are like that. What scares them away from advertising is either, you know, not enough resources, not enough cash to begin with, but more likely it's I don't want to lose my money, right? So another thing that we are going to demonstrate for you, and this will be part of the entire Rainmaker content and traffic strategy, is that once you have optimized your homepage, remember, it keeps coming back to that, with the report that you created out of the normal content that you created. It's kind of like going back to the beginning of Copyblogger. I started writing Copywriting 101, right, as a series of 10 posts. Each one was content as a post. Then I aggregated them all onto a content landing page that got shared and linked to, which made it rank very high for copywriting, which brings in traffic to this day. But now it's an ebook. And it got, see how the cycles work? Well, with New Rainmaker, we're doing this on a very expedited level so that you can see how to do it. But so once you get a page that focuses on getting people to register and opt in, then you can smartly send advertising to that page. And the new social network advertising programs, LinkedIn now has sponsored posts. Twitter, obviously, Facebook, very effective at advertising content. If you're selling content, you're going to do great. And what are you doing? Are you really selling content? You're paying to build an audience faster.
And, yeah, you and said,
me, you know, I mean, I've done it both ways, but if you can either get a return on your money or you can break even on the advertising part and then sell something later, that is a lot easier than right. It is to go out there, especially for me, because I don't like to cold email people and I don't like to do all that stuff. I did it, you know. Sometimes we do things that aren't our favorite thing to do because – especially if you've got content that you worked hard on and you want people to see it, you get over your distaste for promoting it because you think it deserves to be seen.
Yeah, you put it even more succinctly recently, saying using paid traffic, not to sell product, but to build an audience.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because the audience has value that goes beyond the one-time sale. I mean, the audience I built at the beginning of Copyblogger has supported this business through the launch of how many different lines of business? I mean, every product we launched was purchased by a portion of the audience and or spread by the audience. So advertising a product is very short-sighted. It's very expensive, especially when you're using the social networks where all the people are. Very expensive. And unless you have a product to upsell, which we're going to cover, that's it. You know, if you only have one thing to sell and you just spend all this money to sell it, your margins are probably a lot thinner than if you took a smarter approach. So we're gonna be experimenting specifically with LinkedIn sponsored posts. We're gonna try some stuff with Twitter. We're gonna try some stuff with Facebook, and we're talking about demonstrating this to you in the context specifically of New Rainmaker. But you know, in a combination of that and then a very step-by-step methodology about how you go about this will be, again, this upcoming webinar. I mean, we are talking a lot about it right now, but we're actually going to go into much more detail than this behind the scenes.
All right. Talk a little more about what you just said, the idea of selling something and then having an upsell right after.
Yeah. So, again, as I mentioned, so if you have a service business, just having the report with the opt-in, with the, you know, soft sell offer of your services may be all you need. But there is one step further that we're going to go, because we sell a relatively expensive, you know, compared to a one-time service or an ebook or something like that, product, and called the Rainmaker Platform, right? So just we'll experiment with upselling, not even upselling, mentioning, creating exposure for the Rainmaker Platform at the end of this free report that we're doing, right? Because we are, after all, in the middle of launching the Rainmaker Platform. But there's a better way to do that. So right now, this is episode 8, got a couple more to do. Then we're going to do these really high-value, intensive webinars. So you'll see, once we get there, that you're really going to have 8 audio episodes with transcripts that lead the way to the more detailed step-by-step instruction that we provide in the webinars. And that is essentially how we are educating you guys and leading up to the introduction of the Rainmaker Platform, so that you will be educated enough to say, hey, this looks great. I understand the philosophy. I understand the methodology. I know what to do. Sign me up. Great. And then we just throw all this away and start over, right? No. What have we just created? I just created a course. And you're like, wait a minute. Are you telling me you're going to sell the same content that you just gave us for free? Absolutely, I am. That's why we paid a lot of attention to detail about what we wanted to say, why we tried to do a different kind of production that was very engaging to listen to. I love the fact that most everyone, I guess there's been one person who said they hated jazz.
Who is it?
I know. I didn't want to tell you that because I thought you'd flip out. But for the most people, people are like, wow, that's really interesting to listen to. I like listening to that. Anyway, so you take the transcripts, you turn them into the ebook or the manual. You've got the audio version. We literally created an audio book. And then you've got the really high value webinars, which, you know, these webinars are going to be the type that gets sold around the web for $97 just for that one webinar. But we're going to have the whole package. At that point, you can do two things. One thing that you do is you sell that as a course. And I'm not going to sell it for $97 or $1,000 or, you know, some of that crazy stuff that people try to get away with. Nah, it'll be more like $20. And you're like, $20? Why would you sell it so inexpensively? Because that's not what I'm selling here. I'm selling the Rainmaker Platform. I need you to understand this stuff, just like I need you guys to understand this stuff before you're ready to buy the platform. But in this case, once we've gone through the initial launch, it is much more high value to have a very focused list of buyers who paid you $20 and invested in learning than it is to just do straight opt-in lead generation. And added to that, that the best time to present an offer for the Rainmaker platform is right after they've purchased the course. You're like, wait a minute, shouldn't they go through it first? No, that's the second offer. Actually, presenting someone with the actual tools, the mechanism by which they can make all this happen when they're really fired up about the fact that they're going to learn how to do all this stuff is actually the greatest moment to do an upsell. So that's what we're going to do, and we're going to show you how it works, and we're going to tell you what happens. But the reason I'm telling you this now is for you to start thinking about, what do you sell? What information product could you sell at a lower price that naturally supports what you're ultimately selling? Now, I can think of a lot of service professionals, consultants, et cetera, who could write a great book and, you know, they could sell it. And then that literally gets a highly qualified list of educated people that are more likely to do business with them. But if you're selling software, if you're selling an expensive course or a live event, or training, et cetera, leading with a low-cost ebook or course that you create from the content you've been creating all along is a very smart way to go. You'll build a smaller list, but those are buyers. I told Robert earlier, it's literally the difference between our existing StudioPress customers and our My Copy Blogger list. Our My Copy Blogger list is incredibly valuable to us, but Robert, which one?
If you had to choose, you always got to go with the buyers.
People who buy from you are of an infinitely different character to you than someone who is only opted in for free content. Now, they're both valuable, but there's degrees of value.
We are talking business here.
Yeah, a buyer is your favorite kind of list.
I want to just, before we wrap up here, I want to circle back around and talk about one thing. All of this entire process leading up to this product, which then sells the product, it begins at the way back with the idea of these scripted podcasts that we did. I hope you know you're able to see the through line through this that Brian just described was very clear. But all of that began, not that everything was laid out and everything was perfect from the beginning, but we spent the time creating those scripts for those initial podcasts because we knew we were going to get here at some point. And Brian did, you know, obviously most of the heavy lifting in that. But when you do that, the point being, you've not just made your way through with some rambling audio that, you know, may not be useful to you. From the very beginning, you're creating the product that you will then use weeks or months or even maybe even years later.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this step may not be necessary for every business. Like I said, with my real estate businesses, I never sold a low-cost book or whatever. I could have, actually, because that model depended on buyer agency, and there was a lot of information that people would be willing to pay, you know, some money for just to be educated on. It had independent value to protect yourself as a real estate consumer. But for the most part, I would do, because the commissions in real estate are so high, I would give that away, educate them, and then just say, hey, so if you want to put this in practice, I'm your guy. And I can tell you, it worked like a charm. But if you're selling something else, there is no better time or no better person to sell the next thing to than to someone who's already bought something from you.
So, very grateful. There's been a lot of interest in what's coming next with the Rainmaker platform. People have a lot of questions about, you know, what it is, when it's coming. Let's talk a little bit about that and tell what we can tell.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, for even this show, as loosely formed as it is compared to our normal episodes, you know, we have seven things that we were going to cover in this episode. And number seven is the platform itself. And my notes here, I would realize that we would spend the next hour if I went over all of it. And I don't think people, well, some people might want to hear that, but I think there's a better way to go, get in that detail. But effectively, the Rainmaker platform is everything that we use on Copyblogger. It's what we use on StudioPress. It's what we use on New Rainmaker. It is our custom online marketing platform that is built off the core of WordPress. And so, you know, people are like, well, oh, so it's WordPress. And I'm like, right. The New York Times runs on WordPress. Time.com runs on WordPress. But you don't really think that's like the WordPress you get when you push a button at, you know, at Bluehost or something. You know, it's a highly customized version of WordPress. And that's what we use ourselves. Okay, so what we're trying to do, and God knows how much we've spent ourselves developing what has become our platform. But the great thing is, over time, we've been selling the pieces of this thing individually. So of course, we've got Genesis and all the StudioPress designs, and we've got our Scribe content marketing software, and we've got Synthesis hosting, and we, a big portion of what we're doing here, like the feature that I focused on most in this element, is what we used to sell as premise, but we took it off the market. And here's the reasoning behind that, in that, so you hear me say that and you're like, well, I could just buy all the parts and put it together myself. Absolutely. And that's how we got here. But we can't give you with the parts what we actually use. And the reason why is because it's not in a hosted controlled environment. You know, the way we run a site is completely controlled. You know, everything from plugins to themes to WordPress itself gets updated. It's not like Robert goes through and is checking plugins and going to see if it's been hacked, you know, before he upgrades to the new version and all that kind of stuff. No, that would be horrible. You would never expect an organization to run that way. And yet, despite all the wonderful things about WordPress, that's exactly how a business runs with off-the-shelf WordPress. And whether or not you've augmented WordPress with one or more of our products, we can't give you the exact experience that we ourselves use unless it's a hosted turnkey platform. And that's what Rainmaker is. So not only do you get all the functionality of all those different parts, you get a completely different user interface. You get advanced analytics that are piped in right through the dashboard in ways that WordPress doesn't do. You get reporting functions that WordPress doesn't do, because that's how we run our business, right? And again, if you're primarily doing lead generation because you're a service business, well, that's the equivalent of My Copyblogger. If you're running a membership program, that's the equivalent of Authority. If you're selling software or ebooks or other digital goods, that's the equivalent of StudioPress. So you can see what I'm getting at here. If one of these things is the type of business that you have, and except for hard e-commerce, I think that covers everything. And eventually we'll talk about hard e-commerce. but you get what I'm saying. If that's what you're in the business of doing, finally, we can give you all of that. And yet you'll see that because we've already built everything and we're able to put it all together, we're also able to do it at a price that is not at the highly expensive levels that you're seeing out there in other solutions of this kind, without naming names, HubSpot.
You said you weren't going to name names.
Oh, did I? Tourette's again.
Something came out.
You know, I mean, no, there are other things out there. And HubSpot, good people, a lot of friends over there. But they built a solution in a way that I don't see as optimal. Number one, it's proprietary, and I would never use something that at its core wasn't open source. you look at Red Hat for Linux, right? Linux is a free operating system, but the business world wouldn't touch it until Red Hat packaged it, supported it, made it friendly, and became a billion-dollar business out of it. Billions, actually, right? So that is, even at the enterprise level, people understand that at the core, open source will win because you'll never beat that community, that army of developers from improving the core technology in a way that no proprietary solution will ever be able to keep up with. But just like with Red Hat and just like with my examples with the New York Times and other high-powered publishers who use WordPress at the core, you know, off the shelf is not going to work. So instead of taking $70 million in venture capital and building a product to sell, or I should say a service, software as a service to sell, which is what Squarespace did, which is what HubSpot did, which is what Compendium did, we started a blog, basically started as content publishers and marketers, and then built everything we wanted to make WordPress work the way we wanted it to work. And this is the natural result of that. I mean, we made $7.2 million last year using Rainmaker, not by selling Rainmaker.
I want to point out, too, as we've been looking at it and using it here for a bit of time before the launch, you know, all of that powerful functionality, we've talked about describing it as a position between something like a Squarespace and what you said, HubSpot as well.
Well, the goal is, and I mentioned those two because it's very powerful like HubSpot. It's not as expensive as HubSpot. On the other hand, it's very, and this is really the hard part, it's the power was actually easy. It's the simplicity that is.
Right. That's what I was getting at.
Right. The simplicity is what Squarespace offers, even though it's an underpowered product. You can't do real content marketing with Squarespace, which is why they have such a high churn rate and have to do Super Bowl commercials. I don't know anyone at Squarespace, so I don't have to be nice to them. So it's very pretty and it's sold through a lot of money, but it's not really going to do the job. Of course, you get something like HubSpot, very powerful, very expensive, really kind of aimed more at the just below the enterprise market, I suppose. So there's this huge middle part where people, businesses, you know, are completely left out in the cold, except for the DIY market, you know, that we built our company around with WordPress. But you talk to people all the time, Robert, and they're like, just let me create content. Just let me run my business. I don't want to mess with a WordPress update. I don't want to mess with getting hacked. I don't want to mess with wondering if my site's going to go down if Robert tweets it.
I'm not sure how to take that. I think I do know, but yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, all the power and everything that everybody wants and loves about WordPress without any of the headaches is really what we're getting at. This beautiful back-end.
And the other complaint
dashboard that
we see the most is, God, can't someone do something about the WordPress interface?
That's
well,
right.
Yeah, we did that. We can't stand it either. Wait till you see it. It's going to be, you're like, oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. What it's in a lot of ways what it should have been for a long time. So that usability,
but, I mean,
but all
that's the beauty
of
open source. I mean, the developers of WordPress are building a CMS. They're not necessarily thinking like, what's the business case? That's not how open source projects work, okay? And again, that's literally the role we've performed for the last 8 years, which is, okay, we have this amazing thing, but it's not going to work, number one, because there's no support, and number two, because it's too hard for quote-unquote regular people, of which we, at least me, you, Sonia, Jared, Damien, we can't call ourselves normal in these psychological sense, but we're normal in the technological sense in that we are not technologists. We are regular people who create content and need to use technological tools in order to publish it. And that's always been the thing with me. All of this crazy ride we've been on has me going, I can't do anything with this. Let's build something that lets me do it, right? And that has been the model of our company the entire time. And now we get to Rainmaker, which is literally something I can build an entire site with without anyone.
And something we could talk about for the next 3 hours if we,
we gotta
lacked
stop
discipline.
There will be more information coming out in more detail than you'll ever want as far as all the different features, everything it does, being able to see it in greater detail. But for now, because of the way we're releasing this in batches, basically we're offering our best price that'll never be this low again. It's not going to, you don't have to do bug checks. It's not going to be like beta like that. But what did I say earlier about the hardest part? The hardest part is making sure that no one, to the greatest degree of certainty that we can provide, is confused whatsoever about how to do anything that they want to do. And that is the hardest part. And that's why we're willing, as we always do, to give our early adopters the best price in exchange simply for what would you do better? Where are you getting hung up? What did we guess at and maybe not get completely right? That is golden, and it's worth it to us. You get first shot at the product. You get a price that is never going to be lower, and you get it locked in forever, even when we add the really huge next level of features, which I won't talk about now, but that's really, I think, the selling point to me. If you're interested in this, the introductory price is good enough for what you're getting, but you're getting the next level, which will be a whole nother level of pricing, but we won't raise the price for you guys.
To get in on that initial list, all you have to do is go to newrainmaker.com/platform. And everything will roll out to you, to your inbox specifically. Brian, anything else on all of this before we wrap up this episode number 8 behind the scenes?
Stick with us. We got a couple of great lessons that you'll see are getting much more specific. We've moved from general theory more and more towards how it works, and that will continue. So regardless of whether or not you ever buy Rainmaker, you're going to get what we consider a world-class education in how this whole media approach to marketing thing works. So at a minimum, we certainly hope that everyone is getting something out of that.
Thanks for listening to New Rainmaker. If you like what you're hearing, please let us know by heading over to iTunes and leaving a rating or a comment there. And if you found this broadcast independently floating around somewhere else out there on the internet, go ahead and sign up to get everything. Free email updates for future episodes, transcripts, videos, and upcoming live shows at newrainmaker.com.